WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. CBS News confirms that bomb-making material has been found at the Bourbon Street attacker's Houston home and the Airbnb apartment he rented in New Orleans. 14 people were killed and at least 35 wounded before police killed the pickup truck driver Wednesday, who investigators say had joined ISIS last year. CBS's Omar Villafranca also reports.
New Orleans officials launched an investigation on what went wrong with security. A central focus now are on those bollards on Bourbon Street, designed specifically to thwart a vehicle from plowing through. On the morning of the attack, the bollards were down for repairs. New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick.
And if it hadn't been on Bourbon, he was going to go somewhere else.
After looking into whether there was a connection to the New Orleans truck attack and the Cybertruck explosion in Las Vegas, FBI Las Vegas Special Agent in Charge Spencer Evans announces.
We've identified no telephonic or email communication between the subjects. No information that suggests that they knew each other, that they ever served in the same unit, that they were ever assigned at the same place at the same time and had interaction.
Evans says Special Forces soldier Matthew Leivelsberger struggled with PTSD and other issues and died by suicide. President-elect Trump is set to be sentenced on January 10th in his New York criminal case tied to a hush money payment ahead of the 2016 election. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says the judge has signaled that Trump will not serve prison time.
Anything short of you will be incarcerated for some period of time after January 20th, which we knew wasn't going to happen, anything short of that really will not be an impediment to President Trump's ability to function as president.
Winning today's House Speaker vote.
Speaker-elect Mike Johnson from the state of Louisiana.
There were initially three GOP holdouts, Thomas Massie of Kentucky, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, and Texas Keith Self. Massie remained the one vote against the speaker. CBS's Nicole Killian.
Speaker Mike Johnson is eager to get to work starting right now. He's swearing in members, taking a ceremonial photo with them. Of course, tomorrow he'll be meeting with members to discuss the path forward once President-elect Trump takes office on January 20th. So they'll be strategizing about how to move his agenda forward expeditiously.
A winter wallop on the way with warnings and watches for more than 15 states from Washington to Pennsylvania. CBS News meteorologist Nikki Nolan says this weekend's bullseye is from Missouri to the lower Ohio Valley.
They're looking at snow, ice conditions, which are going to impact interstates and even the airports.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks fall to the Nets again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Nets, 113-110. Milwaukee now 1-3 against Brooklyn. Doc Rivers after the loss.
I mean, all four games have basically been the same game. We came back and won. They beat us the first game. And then the game here without Giannis and Dame, that was the only game that we actually had a big lead.
The Bucks will host Portland tomorrow night. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers back in action against the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight at the Kohl Center. NFL, it's the Packers and the Bears at Lambeau Field. Green Bay's already clinched a playoff spot, so will they play all of their starters this Sunday?
I think we got to go in with the mindset that everybody can expect to play the entire game, and we're going to win, you know, play a football game to win the game. And that's how we always approach it and always will approach it. And, you know, some guys could have less snaps than they normally might get, but that is to be determined.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Mamma Mia, there is a new champ when it comes to stage musical adapted to the big screen. Wicked has been a box office juggernaut since its release in November, and now it's just passed Mamma Mia as the number one musical stage adaptation, according to Pubity.com. The results of the poll apparently sent fans of Mamma Mia into a lather on social media. The friendly competition and debate between the two films should continue as Mamma Mia has a third installment in the works, and the Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande-led Wicked will see Chapter 2 hit theaters next November. If you don't like to watch horror films, films, there is the option to sidestep the blood and creep and just read the script. Deadline's Read the Screenplay series has made the script for the recently released Nosferatu available at Deadline.com. The screenplay was adapted by Robert Eggers, who is also the director. Nosferatu stars Bill Skarsgård and has received rave reviews and is currently in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, wind chills well below zero with a low around zero. And mostly sunny for the weekend, high temps in the mid-teens, again wind chills at times below zero. Stays cold to start early next week, highs mainly in the teens and partly sunny. Currently it's 12 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we'll recap the weekend's news and we bring back Beyond the Cheese. Wisconsin knitwear is featured. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand
up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. And hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Right on. Hey, we have our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish, and welcome as always. And geez, we really appreciate you coming in every week, we really appreciate you speaking to our people and educating and giving us updates. It's really a big deal here, and you make this show what it is. I appreciate you.
Well, thanks so much. It's really good to be back with you on this Friday. It was a quick week.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of which, you know, we always, not jokingly, but, you know, it's amazing that your job as a state senator is a part-time gig, and where you're working full time. So again, you're on travel right now and doing the work for the state.
Yeah, I'm in New Orleans, so it's about 54 degrees down here. Yesterday it was really humid. I mean, and it rained, and then the humidity just rose. So it was weird to feel humidity and heat like that again, which we just had not so long ago. And I've been gone since Monday. So I've heard that you guys have had some interesting weather this week.
Yeah, we had two days of winter.
Really?
Now it's 30s again.
Yeah. And is it this weekend supposed to get really warm then?
Yeah. I'm pulling out my shorts again.
Well, I'll be back tomorrow. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Saturday? Yes, tomorrow is Saturday. So I'll be back to Minnesota tomorrow. And then I have a two-day retreat with my caucus down at Shakopee. So I'm not going to be home for a bunch of days. I really miss being home.
Yeah, I hear you. It's hard for me to travel. I feel like I get a few days behind, and it just I never catch up. But also, State Senator, before I forget, I just want to wish Wendy Pilot, founder of Native Roots Radio and co-host over the years, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Wendy. On St. Nicholas Day, no less.
Yes, yeah. And I'll have to remind her of that. But as you all know, and if you've met Wendy, and of course hearing her on Native Roots Radio, I've overkicked my coverage, so I overdid it. And appreciate you, Wendy, and love you, and thanks for all your support, and really a lot of support here on Native Roots Radio over the years, too.
Yeah, she's been great. Yeah. St. Nicholas is a big deal down here. That's why I mention it. There's a there's a parade and there's all these festivities. I've been hearing, like, I think there was a parade or a band went past not too long ago. I'm way up on the 20th floor, so I couldn't see all the way down there. But I'm looking forward to getting out there this evening and tomorrow before I head home to check out the shops. I did get down to one of the famous coffee shops and get a couple beignets, which were delicious. And my question was, are these the original fry bread?
What do you think? I saw that. Kind of looks that way.
Totally. It's basically fry bread with a lot, like an inch of powdered sugar on it. It was so delicious.
I always love etouffee and some crawfish, as they call it. We call it crayfish here up in the big Midwest, but it's crawfish down there in New Orleans.
Yeah, we've been eating a lot of really good food, even though, during the conference, we get breakfast, we get lunch, and then sometimes there's a little reception in the evening, but a group of us have been going out to different restaurants at night and just, like, having the best food. Really delicious. So I'm really not complaining, even though I'm kind of complaining.
Yeah, well, my toupee always gets flat with that humidity there in New Orleans, so I got to wear a hat and hide it out there for a bit.
Yeah. I have been trying to look for, there's a couple museums that I've been able to go into really quick, state museums, local things, looking for a reference to the indigenous people of this area, and I haven't really found much reference at all. To me, it felt like they really start with the slave trade and the Spanish coming in and French, and then, Portuguese, but looking for some reference to the indigenous people here, and I'm not finding anything yet. I hope within the next day I will.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I think we're blessed here in the Midwest, in Minnesota and, Wisconsin and the Dakotas and Iowa, that they really recognize the first people of the First Nations of the land. And it's weird. I kind of had that same feeling, too. It really took a lot for me to dig in to find out any representation in New York City of Native Americans. And we know we were, the first people in the out east to see them. So it's buried deep, but it's there. It's hard to find sometimes.
Yeah, I think because they're not, I don't know, maybe not visible or what the story is. But I was doing a little research, and I think they said that the Choctaw were the or the indigenous, the original people of this area. But, from what I can tell, once those European settlers came in and forced them from the land, and I think there's only four federally recognized tribes here in Louisiana. So it's pretty interesting. Most people are looking for the Cajun, right, influence, and it's like, wait a minute, where are the Native folks, or the indigenous folks? So
right.
I maybe just have to dig a little deeper.
Yeah, I know I did in New York. I was the same feeling as you, and they're there, but they're hiding out. Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting. Yeah. Go ahead.
And some of the areas, like especially on the East Coast, a lot of the indigenous people had relationships or had children with blacks. And so a lot on the East Coast, and even maybe down here, those folks that are indigenous or acknowledged as indigenous might not appear Native, and so when you look around for people with certain, I don't know, genetic markers or cultural things, you're never sure what you can find. I saw a woman with a really cool pair of earrings. Oh my gosh. Sir Bowdum, and she's from Alaska. Huh. And I was not, I was like, ooh, should I ask, are you Native or aren't you? Because I wasn't quite sure. And she wasn't, but she was sporting some pretty great earrings. I think it's called, the artist is, studio is called Bering Strait up in Alaska. Wow. And I think it was otter, it had otter skin on it. Oh my gosh, it was just beautiful. She's like, feel it, it's so soft. And so I did. It was really, really cool. But, you know, it seems like whenever I come to these conferences, we always find each other, us, the indigenous people, that look at each other like,
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Right on. Well, hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're just talking about things as usual, and we're going to get back to it. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
You are so much more than a consumer, so why support one dominant e-store that runs the world? How about an online shopping market where you can buy a wood ornament and a tree is planted, fun socks supporting the Humane Society, or pride flags and earrings and candles supporting human rights? A place to buy panache juices sourced from sustainable orchards in Minnesota. Discover CosCart.com. CosCart is offering free local delivery in the Twin Cities when you enter pickup at checkout until December 20th. When you shop CosCart, you're supporting artisans, nonprofits, socially conscious businesses, and yourself. Every item reflects a commitment to positive change. CosCart uses biodegradable and recyclable packaging and invests in carbon credits. CosCart, one conscious choice at a time. Discover the joys of shopping with purpose. Visit cos-cart.com today. Free local delivery in the Twin Cities when you enter pickup at checkout until December 20th. Visit cos-cart.com today.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back. We're with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunish. You know, we were talking a little bit about her being in New Orleans, but also in the beginning, it's been awesome that we've been on the air together for so many years, and it's been a lot of fun, and I love your even keel and straight shooter and talking the truth and doing the work for for everyone in the state of Minnesota, which is pretty exciting. I forgot to ask you, what are you doing down in New Orleans?
Well, I'm here at a conference for the Council of State Governments, and it's a national conference of legislators serving all three branches of the state. So the executive, the House, the Senate, and then we have the Justice Center down here too. And some of the breakouts are for specific, branches of us, the regional and the justice and the executive, and others are for all of us to mix in together, which is really interesting, especially when we come from across the country. I mean, they come from Alaska, from Hawaii, just about everywhere in the United States. And it's really pretty great. They they put on a great conference with lots of really good agenda opportunities. I'm in the track to become the chair of the Midwest Council of State Governors. So that's why I had to be here all week, because I had to attend all these different meetings and move along to the other one. But, you know, we're talking about what we're going to need to power the future. So the energy needs in across the nation, infrastructure, how we're going to support that and build those things, different educational things. This morning, I sat in on a forum about foster care and children, you know, foster care and adoption, child placement. And we talked a little bit about ICWA, and some of the other state members that were there later on said, you know, we have this and we have that. And I said, yeah, but Minnesota has its MIFPA, Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, mm-hmm. which is like a little mini ICWA, Indian Child Welfare Act. And I mean, thank heavens we got that done. I don't know that with the present administration that it would have been upheld the way that it did just, what, a year or so ago, 2 years ago. So, yeah, there's just been a lot of really great breakout sessions, meeting a lot of neat people. There's a few of us from Minnesota here. And, you know, today I sat in on what to expect from Washington, D.C., led by a former, administrator on the in the Trump administration. And, you know, pretty much what we've been hearing, they're just going to roll everything back and cut all the different departments and agencies. And they're talking about loosening up environmental controls, protections, which just broke my heart to think about that. They're talking about how to produce more energy, AI, you know, really promoting AI, which is important, artificial intelligence. But I think what I'm most concerned about with that is it takes a lot of power and it takes a lot of water, because you have to keep those machines cool down. And right. So what do people say is the cleanest form of power? Nuclear energy. So are we going to see an uptick in nuclear plants being built around? And you know where they always put those nuclear plants or store the wasted chambers in Indian country? I don't know. I almost had to leave that one session, because it wasn't just for me. It was not a positive message, but.
Well, I know the work that you've done, and the past legislators in the state here have really lined up a lot of protections here that we can fight the federal government when they're trying to do things here. And there's a lot of things that you guys have set up to protect, at least here in Minnesota, what's going on. And I got to applaud you and all the other legislators that have been working on that. Not that it's not frightening and scary coming up here with these things, but the good work that you guys have done too, I think there's a lot of protections that we're going to be okay here in Minnesota, but nationally.
Yeah. I hope that we did. And I hope that the protections that we've put around things like protections for our trans kids, our LGBTQ2 spirit kids, when it comes to getting them the mental health and also the medical attention that they choose. We're talking about environmental protections. I would say the boundary water is at risk. Mm-hmm. You know, we might be able to do some protections here, but what about our national parks?
Right.
You know, we saw what they did at Bear's Ear.
Yep.
And you know, is that going to be happening again across the nation? And we might say, we can be safe here in Minnesota, but it just feels like everything, it's just like disaster all around us. We're we're the only beacon. You know, Minnesota is the only state in the whole Midwest that recognizes reproductive freedom and rights and provides the, you know, women the choice to continue a pregnancy or not. Folks flock from other states for abortion and their health care. I mean, I have a feeling that the, you know, the next administration is going to outlaw mifepristone, which is an after, you know,
morning after
medication that women can take, but it's often mailed through the mail system, and I'm sure they will outlaw that. So maybe we have to, you know, we'll be enforcing everything here in Minnesota, but around us, it just feels like it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to keep an eye on that, too. You know, when you talk about the boundary waters and, you know, us natives are water protectors, I really believe that the people up north, too, will not stand for it. The non-Indigenous people, too, because they are up there enjoying it, and they don't want their resources ruined either because of people coming up there and vacationing and visiting. And, you know, it would be a catastrophe for them too. So hopefully we can get some allies out of that too, and be bipartisan about the protection of our waters here.
Yeah, but you know, there are entities out there that are saying, let's get in there and get all those minerals, let's get all that stuff out of the ground. You know, there've been lawsuits and fights to keep companies from overseas out of our state and being able to just come in and drill and mine. And they'll say, oh, we'll do it responsibly. We'll do it respectfully. But at the end of the day, I mean, we saw with Line 3, how they were supposed to be so careful. And at every turn, you know, they violated any kind of agreements or any of the rules that they were supposed to follow, and all it was is like, oops, so sorry, you know? Right. So I don't have that positive outlook as you on that, but I, you know, the only thing that we can really do is push back. And I know that our Attorney General, Keith Ellison, is really primed to ensure that, that he's ready to go when those things such as environmental issues or reproductive rights, LGBTQ two-spirit rights are being violated, that we're able to push back. So we're keeping busy.
Yeah. And, you know, Attorney General Keith Ellison was busy the first time around. So it's not, he's not new to this, and neither are you. You were you a representative or were you a state senator when the first time?
I was a rep. I was elected the same year that Trump was in the same election that Trump was elected in. Wow. So when I was in the Minnesota House, those first 2 years, I was in the minority. And then we took the majority the second time around. But we got some things done. I mean, you have to remember, I was able to get that Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force done under those circumstances. So I'm going to try to remain optimistic. If, you know, if nothing else, we just hold the line until we get a midterms or, you know, 4 years, we can turn that around. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of work, and there are plenty of us that are willing to do just that, push our sleeves up and persevere.
Well, that's why it's excellent you're on the show every week and you give us updates and you know, calls to action too, because we know the same year that you got elected, Standing Rock was happening, and you know, that was not only interesting, but it was empowering to all of us natives. And I think the 7-8 fires across the country of across Turtle Island have really spoken to our young ones and to everyone, and we're going to just have to do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we'll be back after the show.
This is 93.5 The Tap. CBS News Brief. A strong New Orleans police presence around Bourbon Street after the deadly New Year's Day truck attack. CBS's Nicole Valdez.
The names of some of the 14 people killed in this horrifying attack now painted on the wall, wooden crosses, candles lit, and a line of flowers.
CBS News learns bomb-making materials have been found at the attacker's home and Airbnb. Decorated soldier Matthew Leivensberger was in the Cybertruck that blew up in Las Vegas Wednesday. Las Vegas FBI special agent in charge, Spencer Evans.
It ultimately appears to be a tragic case of suicide involving a heavily decorated combat veteran who is struggling with PTSD and other issues.
President-elect Trump is set to be sentenced on January 10th in his New York criminal case. No jail time expected, CBS legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
The punishment, which frankly may not be particularly impactful for President Trump, is that he will forever be known as a convicted felon.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's the Packers and the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Bears Sunday. Green Bay has beat Chicago now 11 times in a row. Three Packers players named to the Pro Bowl, Rashawn Gary, and two free agents who joined the team this year, Josh Jacobs and safety Xavier McKinney.
Definitely special. You know, obviously this organization bringing in two great guys, two great leaders, and helping be a part of, you know, already successful team, and just taking us that much further, taking it another step further.
NBA, the Bucks tried to make a comeback, scoring 20 unanswered points in the fourth quarter, but lost at home to the Nets, 113-110. Doc Rivers asked, have the Bucks played the right way since their win in the NBA Cup?
Yeah, well, honestly, I thought we have played the right way overall. We've been shorthanded. There's not a lot of nights like this where we play offense like the way we played tonight, so... yeah.
The Bucks host the Trailblazers 7 o'clock tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. To some people, life is just downtime between superhero movies. Ultra fans of Spider-Man are experiencing that downtime and probably trying to decipher rumors regarding their favorite web-spinning superhero. Andrew Garfield addressed his potential involvement in Spider-Man 4, which is currently in the works. Tom Holland has signed on to the project, but other than that, little else is known. Garfield disappointed his fans and put the kibosh on his potential appearance, telling GQ the only thing that might bring him back one day would be if he had 5 kids and needed to pay for tuition. Two words for you, Andrew: community college. Jeremy Allen White is getting high praise for his portrayal of Bruce Springsteen by none other than Bruce Springsteen. The Bear actor plays the boss in the upcoming Bruce-based biopic, Deliver Me From Nowhere. In a recent interview on Sirius XM, Springsteen said not only does he think White is a good actor, but praised his singing as well. Deliver Me From Nowhere will be released sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cold tonight, wind chills well below zero with a low around zero. And mostly sunny for the weekend, high temps in the mid-teens, again wind chills at times below zero. Stays cold to start early next week, highs mainly in the teens and partly sunny. Currently it's 10 above.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison and welcome singer-songwriter Katie Scullin into the studio. Then Matt Miller and I discuss award season and 2025 upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Get ready to bake with I Am Betty. The smash hit musical returns to the History Theater now through December 29th. Explore 100 years of women's history through Betty Crocker. While she wasn't a real person, Betty Crocker was a media personality and cultural icon who shaped homes and kitchens for generations. Don't miss last season's runaway hit with catchy songs and heartwarming stories. So grab your big red cookbook and head to the History Theater. Tickets at historytheater.com.
A home that needs new everything. Plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. Again, that's vaccines.gov. Vaccines.gov.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Think your company's safe? Your staff is working from home, right? As I speak, cyber criminals are mounting attacks across the country. Remember, when we're weakest, cyber criminals attack. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld from Rimark. The Rimark team is guiding our clients through these difficult times. In fact, demand has been so high, we created an easy-to-follow guide. It's yours free. Download our 5 steps to securely work from home now at RimarkIT.com or call 651-328-8900 for a no-cost how-to discussion.
Hi, everyone. Recently, I tried to figure out how much money I've saved on gas with my Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Toyota Hybrids are fantastic vehicles, roomy, safe, stylish, and incredibly fuel efficient. I got my latest Toyota Sienna a little over a year ago, so I did the math. So far, I've saved over $1,500 on gas since I got my Sienna. You heard that correctly. Over $1,500 in fuel in little over a year. And they're a fun vehicle. You can drive all day on one tank of gas, so it's perfect for winter travel. Get yourself a Toyota Hybrid today and start saving money on fuel. Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 24, then Saturday sunshine with a high of 45.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. Come in for the famous Nightingale Burger or the Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings. View their menu or place a takeout order at nightingalempls.com.
You are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. We're with State Senator Mary Kunish, and not only are you traveling and seeing your constituents and traveling all across the state, while you're quote-unquote off time, but now the real time's coming in, and people will be coming up and visiting you at the Capitol and doing a lot of good things. So let's talk a little bit about, you doing that and also the preparation and, how the open doors that you always talk about. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So here in Minnesota, we will begin our next legislative session starting January 14th. And as I mentioned, in the Minnesota House, they're even over there as far as 67 GOP members and 67 Democrats, DFLers over there. So they are going to have to be co-managing all of that together. And I mean, literally co-managing. So in the different committees like education or environment or public safety, there will be one of each as the chairs. And I think they are going to trade off every other day who is in charge of chairing the committee.
Wow.
So we'll see how that goes. The last time there was anything like that was back in 1979.
The year I graduated from high school.
Yeah, me too. Hey. And it was so stressful. It did not go well, apparently. It was so stressful that there were like 7 men that had heart attacks.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there were like heart attacks all over the place.
Wow.
I know. So if they're missing, you know, it used to be if you weren't there for a vote on the floor, you just weren't there and you couldn't vote. Now we have remote voting ever since COVID, we've allowed remote voting. Hmm. So back in the day, I think, you know, I read a couple different scenarios where some guy had a heart attack and it was like the other side is like, okay, let's get some stuff done. And, you know, they had all these votes because they had the majority while this one person was out.
Oh, my.
You know, I hope that's not the case this time around. I wouldn't wish that on anybody for any reason, but I do hope they'll be reasonable in their efforts over in the House. And then in the Senate, you know, they're we're just half of that. So and we only have a one person majority in the Minnesota Senate. We lost one of our members this past spring when she resigned to run for Congress, and congratulations, Kelly Mueller, on your election to Congress. And then we were able to be successful in getting one of our Democrats reelected. Ann Johnson Stewart was reelected. She served with me for 2 years and then got redistricted out. And now she's back, and I think she's going to be my seatmate. So that will be cool. And then, you know, we have still have our governor and lieutenant governor. And so we'll see how this session goes. We just got our forecast, looking at the budget. It was not the kind of surplus that had been initially thought that would happen.
Right.
But I'm confident that we'll be able to work within our means. It's really the February forecast that we know really and truly what we're going to be able to spend on all the different areas. I chair education finance, and education and health services take up almost 2/3 of our state budget.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a huge responsibility. And we've been fortunate in the last couple of years of having surplus and able to, you know, fill some of the buckets that hadn't been filled for a long, long time, you know, all the way back to when, you know, 20 years ago when Pawlenty was governor, and he borrowed the money. He didn't pay out the money to education. He kept that to balance the budget. And we never quite recovered from that. So that's really what we've been working on pretty hard. And we'll keep doing that.
Well, that's 600, what is it, $606 million in surplus? That isn't really a surplus, because as you were saying, that there's funding that has to go yearly to education and healthcare, for instance.
Yep. Yeah, and it might look like a surplus, yes, but we also, sometimes when we put bills together, we'll say, you know, X amount of money for 2025, you know, X amount of money in 2026, especially in education. You know, we look at school years 26, 27, 27, 28. Some of the funding that we put in place now has to continue to do that, which means it has to, you know, we have to generate that money to fund those. And so, you know, good chance is that we'll be pretty careful with our dollars this time around, recognizing that we really invested a lot in the future. And I don't think we'll have a problem with what we've got, but I think we got a little spoiled there for a minute or two. And I think we can pull back and be responsible with the funding that we receive.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just got to, you know, talk about the one person in the Senate. That's in a majority no matter how you slice it. And so that's good news, you know. I mean, there's no, okay, we're close to being even. That's work together and
co-manage.
Work together was probably the wrong term, but co-manage.
Well, we should work together, but when it comes to the leadership or the management, one person is a majority. The Senate still holds that majority, and we will exercise our leadership with that majority. And it's not to say that we won't work or, you know, collaborate with our GOP members. I've always asked my the members on the committee, GOP and Dems, bring me good bills. If they're really good bills, then we will absolutely consider them and, you know, make sure that you've got the kids in mind and not something else, an alternative motive for your bill. Sometimes it's kind of gotcha, try to get the Dems in trouble. But, I've had to learn to work with folks all my life. You grew up in a family of 13. You learn you need to get along, right, to get along. Teachers, we work together all the time with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of bring that kind of experience and attitude to the job at the Capitol. I'm happy to have folks share with me their thoughts and their ideas. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. And I think most legislators will say that they want to hear from their constituents. I get a lot of letters from people that aren't my constituents, and I'll still pay attention to what they've got to say. Like, I went down and visited a farm in Goodhue, Minnesota. That's not my district, but somebody knew my sister, and they're like, hey, can you get your sister to come down here and talk about ag issues? And I'm on the ag committee, so I was like, heck yeah, we'll come down and visit you. So it does take a village to make sure that everybody's covered with what they need here in Minnesota.
What I like is that, and this is kind of tongue in cheek too, but what I like is you guys read the whole bills when you vote on them, because there's a couple of them that slipped through the Republicans that didn't read it all the way through. And I just kind of think it's pretty funny, but good on the Democrats.
Yeah. I mean, some of those bills are really deep and intricate, and there's things in there that when you read them, you don't see a problem with it, but there could be either intended or unintended consequences to the bills. And are you talking about the marijuana one?
Yeah, a few years ago when wasn't the marijuana. I think it was THC or something like that.
And
all of a sudden, all these little dispensaries had lines around the block because the law had changed.
Yeah, that was very interesting. But still a lot of work to do on cannabis and marijuana legalization here in Minnesota. There's just, again, there's a lot of things that you don't think about when you're putting these together. And the good thing is that when it came to legalizing marijuana, we knew that there were going to be situations or incidences or problems that we don't know about or hadn't anticipated. Mm-hmm. And we're just going really, we're being very careful and methodic about implementing this. It makes a lot of people upset because they want to get their shops open and start, spreading the spreading the joy and harmony. Yeah. But we have to be really, we have to be careful about how we move along with this legalization, and we'll see how it goes.
Right. And I agree. I really think that we should be working on what we're working on, and that's keeping the money in the state. Mm-hmm. And these out-state people applying for licenses and things, we have to really take care of our own first and keep the money in the state. So I applaud the slowing down of this process.
Yeah. There were a lot of people that were upset that they didn't get the license. And then when you read about it, you know, these were perhaps there were some people that applied for it with the intention of then passing on or selling their or working under the license of somebody else. Mm-hmm. that you know, we didn't want them in. But what I really like especially is that they're being very conscious of making sure that those folks that have been most negatively impacted, politically and legally by it, are going to have the first opportunity to get the benefits.
That's perfect. And again, Minnesota is leading the way in that for sure. And We appreciate that. Hey, appreciate you, State Senator Mary Kunish. People come down to the Capitol and visit you and see the great work that you're doing. And we appreciate the updates and all the insight that you have. We really appreciate you.
You bet. Thank you so much. Wofila Tonka, everyone.
Hey, we'll be right back. Haley, with who?
Hey, we've got Meredith and Fawn from New Native Theater.
Right on. This is Native Roots Radio. We'll be back.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. And it's okay to ask for help. It's important that we support one another and work together to end the stigma so that we can start to tell a different story about mental health and well-being in our community. If you're looking for support for yourself or want to find resources for a loved one, visit makeitokay.org to get started. That's makeitokay.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Programming on Native Roots Radio is supported in part by MinSure. Looking for health insurance, but not sure where to start? MinSure has you covered. You can find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if you qualify for free or low-cost insurance. Plus, get help from an expert so you save on the coverage you need. Enroll online by December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Get started today at MinSure.org. That's MNSure.org.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Oh, man, y'all left me hanging with that lone wolf. All right, guys. Well, hey, it's Fun Friday here on Native Roots Radio, and it's producer Haley Cherry just ending off this episode this week with you guys. I'm joined here now with a couple of new Native theater actors who are performing in Deanna Standing Cloud's audio play titled Blood Quantum Physics. And I'm here with Fawn and Meredith. Thank you guys so much, Pina Gigi, for spending some time with me today and talking new Native theater. How are you?
It's good to be here.
Wow.
I'm up from up north in Grand Rapids. I'm from Leech Lake. So I got to spend the week down in the cities as we do tech rehearsals. We're ready to kick it off tonight. So I'm really excited.
Awesome. That's going to be a great run. We're so excited about the show.
Awesome. So, Fawn, you mentioned you're a Leech Laker. We have a Leech Laker in our family. My cousin is married to a Leech Laker. So shout out Leech Lake. And then, Meredith, you're Turtle Mountain Ojibwe, right?
Yep, Turtle Mountain. My dad is David McCoy. He's enrolled, and I grew up in North Carolina, so moved out to Minnesota to get closer to home.
Awesome. Yeah, come back home to native land. I got a couple really good Turtle Mountain Ojibwe friends, so love them as well. Let's talk Blood Quantum Physics. How did you guys get involved in this play, and how'd you hear about it?
Yeah, so taking a little back a little bit, back in 2016, 17, 18, somewhere around there, Blood Quantum Physics was actually a stage play that was produced. And I was acted alongside Deanna, who is the playwright, and another friend of ours. And that just kind of blew up a little bit. Like, people really loved the play. And now fast forward, they had created into these audio plays that we're doing. So I got involved back when I lived in the Twin Cities with New Native Theater. I've always loved acting. So in college and, you know, high school and community theater. So.
Great. What about you, Mar?
Yeah, my background is in musical theater and opera performance, but I haven't done any of that in a very long time. I went off and got a PhD in Native Studies and teach Native Studies now at Carleton College. And I just saw the Instagram post over the summer that they were doing the workshop of Blood Quantum Physics. And I wrote in and said, hey, I haven't done any theater in a very long time, but I would love to. And, you know, got involved in the workshop and then came back and did some voiceover work for the New Native Theater production of Fallen Star in the fall. And now I'm just really excited to be part of the staged reading for Blood Quantum Physics this weekend and next weekend.
Awesome. Yeah. So it's this weekend, Fridays and Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 2 this weekend and next weekend. And this is at the Gremlin Theater in St. Paul, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect. Have either of you been there before, the Gremlin Theater?
I have. I feel like we performed. I feel like we did Blood Quantum Physics there before.
Yeah.
And then a couple other productions they had there. So, yeah.
And okay. I was there for Bear Grease when it was here last year.
That's right. That's how it sounded familiar. I didn't make it to Bear Grease, but I definitely have heard of Gremlin Theater. So that's awesome. And Gremlin Theater's in St. Paul. Yeah, what else? So you both mentioned you kind of do like theater acting is something you prefer and like musical theater. Have you ever done like acting for camera?
Yes. So I have a small part in Rihanna's Winter's Love.
I think
that's the title. Yeah. I think I have like a small little cameo in there. I can't remember. It was so long ago. That's the only you know, movie, film that I've ever done. So
that's cool. How is like a audio play different from a regular play performance?
I mean, so much more of it is in your voice. I've done a little bit of podcasting and there's so much expression that you have to do. You know, part of the audience is going to be the live studio audience. And so we've put in some visual elements to engage that audience. And then for folks who are going to be listening primarily through the podcast version, everything has to be expressed through sound. So how we talk to each other, how we laugh with each other. There's so many visual cues that have to be sort of compensated for by our voices.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So is it kind of like, so was every performance like the same script or are they kind of different like series?
Yeah. So it's a series of 7 plays and it kind of follows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will preview the inauguration of the Wisconsin State Senate and Wisconsin State Assembly and look forward to what's ahead in 2025. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Finding the special health care resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special health care needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions. Get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump dismisses his January 10th sentencing in his so-called hush money case as an illegitimate political attack. No prison time is expected. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Question, of course, we've been asked ad nauseum for the last several years is what effect will this have on him politically? Well, it's had none. If anything, it's only boosted his standing politically and buoyed his support among fellow Republicans.
Following the terrorist attack in New Orleans, intelligence agencies have released bulletins warning of possible copycat attacks. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
Typically on these calls, they brief on the threat environment, they brief on the status of the investigation, and they encourage their law enforcement partners to stay vigilant.
Congressman Mike Johnson is re-elected as House Speaker. CBS's Nicole Killian says in his speech after the win,
the Speaker made clear that they are going to move forward on the President-elect's priorities with respect to mass deportation, with respect to trying to finish the wall.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.